This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up or new places that you've eaten at or recipes you'd like to share. Or if you just want to chat with us, again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're located at 814 Elm Street. You can come on down and have lunch right here at Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. And we'd love for you to like us on Facebook also. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol. So welcome.
Yes, it is great to be here on a beautiful sunny afternoon.
Yes.
And again, you go outside, and because there's an absence of wind and it's actually above 7 degrees, it feels balmy.
It feels like a heat wave.
Oh, spring.
I know.
Spring is here. We certainly want to thank our sponsors for making Food for Thought possible. Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street in Concord, featuring elegant and affordable jewelry, as well as precision repair. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions at integrityfit.com, your coaching solutions company. Red Arrow Diner in Manchester, Milford, and soon Londonderry. Belmont Hall at 718 Grove Street in Manchester, top quality foods made fresh. New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought. And Celeste Oliva, 75 South Main Street in Concord, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars. And, you know, as I'm saying that last name, Celeste Oliva, I think we have concocted a variety of pronunciations for the name of the store. And as I'm going through that, I'm thinking, it's okay, because just as Sharla will coach you in what you don't know about olive oil and balsamic vinegar, she will help you master the pronunciation of the title of the store. I have not done it yet, but she would be very gracious in helping you to do that.
Yes, very much so.
Oh my gosh. So, and the other thing that strikes me is Red Arrow Diner. We talk about it quite often, but there's so much as far as a description that you could put in one phrase. I mean, people know Red Arrow Diner because it's open whenever you want or need sustenance.
24/7, 365.
Yes. So it can serve all people, because no matter what time you work or play or whatever you're doing, you're out and about, you can get good food. I mean, it's not just comfort food. It's just good diner food.
Yeah. And the other, you know, a lot of places, well, at the diner, you can get anything on the menu 24/7. So you can, you know, you can have lunch at breakfast time and breakfast at dinner time. And, you know, so there's not like any set limits on the menu. And speaking of Londonderry, you know, we keep saying opening soon. Well, we do have an opening day.
Oh, yay. Okay.
We do have an opening day, and it is next Monday.
Wow, that's
so
is
less
exciting.
Than a week. So, as you can probably see, the office, first of all, well, gosh, I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
Amanda is having the baby.
Yay!
It is like so exciting.
Speak.
As we speak, wow. Like right now, like she's having the baby. She's in the hospital. So the whole office in Midtown Cafe, all of us this morning, Lee, our account controller, she flew in. Her and Amanda barely had time. She flew in from Bozy, and she's here while Amanda is, you know, having her baby for a few weeks. So they literally had like a few hours together yesterday to exchange their lists, and look at that.
And that's amazing, because I had the privilege of meeting Lee today. And she, for someone who maybe had just a few hours to get the gist of what's happening here in the office as she's going to cover for Amanda's maternity leave, she was very pleasant, bubbly, positive, and she didn't look rattled at all.
That's Lee.
So I think that
well,
is fantastic.
She's rattled. Well, already this morning, Matt, our computer guy, came down, and, you know, we're talking about Londonderry. My brother was there, and already we're like, well, Amanda does that. We don't know how to do that. I mean, you know, it's already things that, you know, and it's already starting. And Lee's like, oh, my gosh. So it's kind of
exciting. Maybe, you know, a quick phone call in to her in between her breathing
yeah,
and
no
whatever
kidding,
else
right?
she needs to do. Hey, Amanda.
Yeah. Almost said that. I said, well, we can call her.
That may not be appreciated.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, probably not. But yeah, so Londonderry will be open next Monday.
Good.
Which is very, very exciting. And it's crazy over there. It's just crazy. And Dad actually, you know, Dad will be with us the second hour today. And he's there now. So we'll get more of an update when we talk to him.
Oh,
so.
That's exciting. Because that's what I'm thinking about. Like, what are the final things, the final touches, the things that you really kind of run around scrambling to get done in
it's
those
crazy
last few days?
Right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
It's
and then
crazy.
Coordinating whatever work orders need to get, you know, be accomplished and wow.
Yes. We'll be handed over the keys in a couple of days. So everybody's just scrambling to, you know, get things done. I'm pretty sure like the cleaning people are in there, you know, cleaning things out and stuff like that. But it's crazy.
That
it's
is
crazy.
So yes, on Monday, on that exciting opening day, that will be fantastic to breathe and then
yes.
look out there.
Yes. And the first 500 people
yeah.
that walk in the door yeah. on opening day, we're going to open at 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
6 a.m. The first 500 people will get a Red Arrow gift certificate to be used the next time they come in.
Perfect.
So it's kind of, you know, kind of fun.
Oh, that's exciting.
Doing like
yeah,
a fun little,
it does.
You know, little thing. And we actually have a caller. We have Kevin from New Boston. Hi, Kevin. Is Kevin there?
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Not bad. You guys surviving the winter of 2014-15 here?
Isn't it crazy?
Hey, you know, the nice thing about with weather like this, it gives you the desire to go out. I don't know about you guys, but I like going out for dinner and go out to the place.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's true.
After a long day of shoveling, you know, you just don't feel like making a meal.
Right, that's right. Yeah, you're tired. You're even more tired in the winter. You just kind of want to be taken care of. So it's much easier and nicer to go out to dinner sometimes.
With that in mind, I am looking for a good prime rib. And sad to say, I have yet to have a good prime rib since Bats left years ago.
Oh. So are you looking for a recipe? Is that what you're looking for?
Not for a recipe, because I can never purchase the good quality that you can get at the restaurants, get the first pick on all this stuff. So I'm just looking, you know, a restaurant that, in your opinion, professional opinions, make a good prime rib. You know, something where the flavor goes from the outside to the inside, not just the seasoning on the outside.
Okay.
Yep. You know, the one place that is coming to my head right now, there's a couple of places. The first place, which is kind, are you from the Manchester area? Oh, you're from New Boston.
Oh, yeah. Born and raised Manchester, and now we're going to die in this state eventually.
Okay, so you're familiar with Manchester. It's kind of it's a strange place to say that they have really, really good prime rib is Athens.
Athens?
You know, Athens on Central Street?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they have the best prime rib. If you go like on a Friday and a Saturday night, it is to die for. It is amazing.
Now, see, I would have never, ever thought of Athens.
Right? It's kind of like a place that you wouldn't think would have, you know, really good prime rib. I mean, they have, you know, I love like their garnish, you know, that they serve it with. And it's a really good prime rib. That's the place that I recommend. Athens.
Okay, it's one place I've never checked. I've checked out a lot of other places that always claim they have a good prime rib, and they don't have a bad prime rib. They have a good prime rib.
Right, I know what you mean.
Not a great prime rib.
Mm. Well, I would like you to go try that, and if you do, I want you to give us a call back and let me know how you liked it.
Oh, I'll definitely try it. I would have never thought Athens. It's almost like saying, I want a good steak. Yeah, so you go down to a fish joint.
Yeah, exactly. You know. It's true. But it really is. And you know, the other place, now, I have not had it there, but, oh my gosh, remember Spats at the Circle?
Yeah, and now it's called the Bonsai or whatever.
Yes. Well, I heard that, now, like I said, I have not tried it, but I heard that it's the same chef. Have you tried their prime rib over there at Bonsai?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. There you go. So you know.
It's good. I'm sorry, they can't sell me on the idea that it's the same setup, same everything, because I don't know. We went there. We had gone there because, you know, again, everybody's saying, oh, it's the same one. It's the same chef. It's, you know, everything's the same. And it's like when it was fat, that whatever seasoning they did on the outside seemed to have permeated throughout the entire meal,
yes.
The meat.
Yes, you're right.
And when we had done the bonsai, it was like, you know, great seasoning on the outside, flavor. Like, I was like, oh, this is good. But the entire center section of the prime rib did not have that flavor.
Right.
So I'm not sure what they did differently, but no, it was still good. I mean, I don't mean to dig
against anybody,
but it,
I know what you're saying, but go and try Athens. And I want to know, you got to call me back after.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll get to this weekend, but it might be a possibility this weekend to try it out.
All right. That sounds great. Thank you for calling, Kevin.
And thank you guys for being back on. I used to catch you guys always on the Sundays.
Oh,
shows.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
Well, it's nice to be back. I got to get down to the Beacons building there.
Yes, you do. Come down and watch the show. Definitely. That would be fun.
If you come tomorrow,
not only would you get to probably taste a cupcake, but if you wanted to, you could try your hand, because King Arthur Flower is going to be here demonstrating some decorating tips and all those kinds of things. And if you're not into that, you're probably into eating the cupcake. So just come down, and it would be a good time to come down.
It should be fun tomorrow. It's going to be exciting. They're going to be doing demos for the whole 2 hours, so it's going to be cool.
All right. Well, who knows? We may see what happens tomorrow. I've got a meeting in the morning, but I might be able to make it in the afternoon.
There you go. Well, make sure you tell us who you are. Come to the studio. So, okay.
I'm so shy, you know. I'm a very shy person.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought, and when we come back, we will be with Fire Chief Dan Andrus. And he's a foodie, supposedly, so I can't wait to talk to him. I always love talking to foodies. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. And we have
Concord Fire Chief Dan Andrus. And Chief Andrus, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing wonderfully well. The sun's out today.
Yes.
It's not snowing right now, and I think it's a marvelous day. How are you two doing?
We are doing very well. As you mentioned, I mean, just even the seeing the sun and having it not be 7 or negative anything makes it seem like a very good day. So it's just those snowbanks that are kind of getting in our way. But we can muscle through all that.
You know, I'm 6'4" tall, and I'm having a hard time peeking up over the top of them. So I imagine some other people must be having a hard time sort of navigating around, too. You have to creep out and peek, and, you know, it's kind of an aerobic exercise just to drive around here.
You got it, which then, you know, I get my workout in while I'm driving. That's a good point.
You get your flexibility stuff in there.
That's right. Stretching and all of that. Well, so many things we'd love to talk to you about. One of the things, of course, that we definitely need to address is fire safety in the kitchen. You hear so often that many of the fires and accidents that happen right at home, and the potential of those things happening in the kitchen are pretty high when you think about all the things that we do there. And I think even just of myself, how many times I have inadvertently left a burner on. And then you think, okay, if there's any piece of plastic or paper near that, let alone grease and any of the things that kind of can combine to make that a very combustible experience.
Absolutely.
What are some of the more common things that you see happening as far as kitchen fires?
One of the things that I was noticing that there was a commercial about texting over the break, and mm-hmm. I think we are the distracted generation. We're a distracted society, and I think it's so easy for people to start things. I'm guilty of this, so this is more of a confession than anything else. But, you know, we start something, we might start something in the kitchen, we step away. We're ducking out for a few minutes to change clothes, to check in on Facebook, to do a quick errand within the house. And we leave something cooking there, and then suddenly we're startled when the smoke alarms go off, and they're blinking, and you go, oh, yes, I did have something cooking. Real common. And I could throw a lot of statistics at you, but I can also say that on nearly a daily basis, we get a fire alarm usually at one of the city's apartment houses, somewhere around morning, noon, or just early evening times. And invariably, it's food that's been left unattended on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
So a great rule, a great thing is if you've got something cooking on top of the stove, take care of it. Babysit it. Just stay there and watch it. And I know that's hard to do because we have, our lives are so busy. But if you're frying something on top, just, you know, stay there with it. If you have something in the oven, set an alarm on your watch. Set something that's going to stay with you. Use your cell phone to let you know when that's done. And I will tell you from experience, another confession, that if you set the timer on the microwave, you may or may not hear that. So I think those two things are going to keep you out of a lot of trouble. And a phenomenally large number of injuries happen in the kitchen, not the fatal ones. Those are the at night in the bedroom when people are sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
But the bulk of fire injuries occur in the kitchen. And interestingly, a statistic I will throw out at you is that 55% of the people who get hurt in cooking fires were hurt trying to put the fire out, trying to do something beyond their capabilities.
Right,
and
yeah.
instead of backing away, calling us and evacuating, they're there trying to beat the fire out or do other things. And it's really just get away from it. That stuff is going to hurt you terribly.
And that brings us to a great question. Is there a good general rule of thumb? Because there are so many things that run through my mind. You know, at one point we were told to throw flour at a grease fire, or because you certainly don't want to be throwing water at that grease fire. All that does is spread the grease and you've got a bigger problem. Yeah, yeah, and so to look
now,
at...
You know what? I never knew that.
Really?
I never knew that.
Yeah, I remember hearing that, and I think that was in school even. Like, as
mm-hmm.
we were
yep.
at some point in school, they taught us that if there's a grease fire, you try to extinguish that with flour. And there are a couple of things that makes me think of, and one is I'm interested in knowing from you, Chief Andrus, if you agree with that, or again, going back to that rule of thumb, when should we try to tackle things on our own and when not to? And the other thing is something that Carol and I have been discussing on the program, which is, as you've pointed out, we are a very busy generation and society, and in that busyness very often we forget to bring our kids into the kitchen with us and to teach them and train them in some of the things that are going on right in the kitchen.
Absolutely.
So I think maybe those are two very divergent questions, but
they were the next point I wanted to cover, and let me address your question first about when to do it. This is just entirely my rule. I didn't pull this from the National Fire Protection Association. The state fire marshal may not endorse this, but I'll say if you have a fire that is contained within the cooking instrument, within a pan or a skillet or something, and you have a lid that you can drop on it without burning yourself, I'd say you might take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's gone beyond, if it's spread over the stovetop, get out of there. And rather than relying upon flour, drop a few bucks and buy a little fire extinguisher. Give it a shot. If it doesn't work, get out.
Right.
So that would be my rule of thumb. And I will have to say I haven't gone that far, so this was not a confession. This was actually just strict advice. But that's what I would tell you is if you can contain it, and always, if you have questions, if you've had a fire, give us a call. We're happy to come over. We want to make sure you're safe. And if you have any concerns about your safety, call 911. We'll be over, and we'll give you peace of mind, and we're free. So how can you beat that?
You know, that's a great reminder. We're talking with Concord Fire Chief Dan Andrus, and I think that's one of the things that maybe makes people hold back. We don't want to feel sheepish and stupid, or have you know, all be chuckling about us in the truck as you're going back, and have you call you all the way out there for nothing. But yeah, it's probably your decision making is not at its optimal when you're in the middle of this panicky little beginning fire, and the default probably should be, as you mentioned, just to call 911.
Yeah, and so many people wind up with hand injuries, wrist injuries, burns on their arms, even worse, burns on their face, and it's just not worth it. And if I could kind of steer us back to kids, too, I'm so glad you brought that up. The National Fire Protection Association recommends for small children a 3-foot safety zone around cooking appliances.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a grill, anything else, there's a place there they can't cross. And I would even go so far as to say, if you wanted to put tape down on the floor, that might work. But one of the calls very early in my career was a child who had been burned by pulling something off a stove. And I'll never forget that. That's over 36 years. That's still kind of his screams ring in my ears, and it was very unpleasant. He survived that, but a little kid of the burn is a very miserable little kid, and I would do anything to avert that for them.
Sure.
And you mentioned, too, introduce kids to the kitchen. As they get old enough and developmentally able to be there and to help, do that. Our daughter is now 20. She started with her mom, not her dad, interestingly. And we are an Armenian family, and we have had a great aunt who also introduced her to cooking. And so from age 3 or 4, she was helping in the kitchen. And now that she's 20, that's paying off handsomely for me.
Wow.
That's great. And, you know, kids really can, it's an area where their creative energies, especially 3, 4, 5, where closely supervised, and they can do great things in the kitchen. And they're so proud of what they do.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's nothing like that. And as you said, just to make that age appropriate and safe for them too, because yeah, certainly if it's something that's preventable, there's nothing like that feeling where some injury has happened to your child or something bigger. But, you know, and I've had my own boys ask me, you know, can I help you make that? Well, why don't you help me with the mixing part? You really can't do this part because it's on top of the stove, but when it's done, you can help me, you know, X, Y, Z, something like that, so that you can get them involved. But, you know, again, the part that I think I'm guilty of is then not, you know, I've got a 17-year-old son. He's certainly old enough to be doing more with me on the stove.
And
I don't think we have worked enough with that so that if something does go wrong, you know, to know how to handle that appropriately.
That's a great thing, and I should mention, too, there is no age that's too old for some kitchen fire safety talks. It's always a good idea if you haven't covered that. For a teenager, older, an older child, even sometimes a spouse, we can take correction as well, and just a few safety tips about how to operate, because you know, you're talking about significant temperatures and you know, heating up stuff to really dangerous temperatures. We're essentially burning the stuff to heat it, and the heat's just dump. It'll burn you, too.
Right, that's right. And then finally, as we're kind of closing out our time with you, you had mentioned appliances, and I think of all the, you know, sometimes needless appliances that we have, but, you know, I've got a crock pot, and the thing I love about my crock pot is I can leave it all day, you know, cook 8 hours and have, you know, I walk in and dinner smells great, and people will say, well, you know, you really can't leave anything unattended. Is there a particular appliance between that or a toaster or anything else that maybe gives you the biggest the bugaboo? It's really one that sticks out to you that is the most neglected or dangerous?
You know, toasters are big culprits because they have a tendency not to pop up. And I'll share a story with you. A few years ago, I was cooking some toast in fire headquarters, and the mayor walked in. So I walked out to talk to the mayor, because you do that when the mayor comes.
Sure.
And I noticed as I was talking to him, he took on a very quizzical expression. He said, Chief, there's smoke behind you. And I turned around, and smoke was pouring out of the kitchen. And I said, I'll go take care of that. And he stopped. And he said, now, fire headquarters is on fire? And I said, yes, but we will handle it because we're professionals.
Right.
He enjoys that story. That's Mayor Boulay. You'll recall that.
Okay, yes.
But toasters can be problematic. You mentioned crock pots. We're not seeing a lot of problems with crock pots. What I'll tell you is make sure that the appliance is listed with testing laboratory, underwriters, factory mutual, and then use it exactly in accordance with manufacturer's instructions. If you don't have the manufacturer's instructions, go online or contact the manufacturer. But, you know, make sure you adhere to that, and I think you'll be fine.
You know, and that brings up another good point. I know that there used to be commercials, and they were selling, we're UL listed. And I thought, yeah, everybody is. No, not necessarily.
Oh, no,
because
no.
I bought a lamp once, and it was a very inexpensive lamp for my kids' room. And it was not UL listed, and I didn't bother to check. Well, I started looking at things when it melted the plastic covering over the light bulb.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought, yeah, exactly. This could have turned into something rather ugly. So I'm right behind you on that one. Not that you need my approval on what's safe, but, you know, that speaks to me. It's something that's easy to think, yeah. But it's very important.
Uh-huh. It is, and I have a friend who works for UL in Northbrook, Illinois, and you wouldn't believe the testing, and the manufacturers pay big money to get a UL listing, and it's not easy. They will put you, your appliance or your product, through all these tests, and when they put that stamp on it, that's something a consumer can look at and say, that's a safe appliance.
Mm. Good to know. Good to know. And so is there a particular food that is your, this is my love, this is something I'm really passionate about, this is, and do you like to cook yourself, other than having things burn as the mayor is coming in?
Well, fortunately, that sort of thrilled behind me. Jeannie knows, about 3 years ago, I had a cardiac event and did well, thanks to the good folks at Concord Hospital, and came out of there and made some changes in my lifestyle. And part of that is I just rarely eat meat anymore. And there's such a rich variety of foods coming from, I range from veggie burgers to black beans to a lot of other things, and there's a richness and a variety and a color splash, and there's a real joy in vegetarian and meat-free cooking. And that's in my interest. I'm a tofu kind of person, and there's just a lot that can be done that's really, really healthy. So eating well and eating healthily are certainly not mutually exclusive. And again, my beloved daughter, of whom I'm very fond, is so absolutely precise with this, and she can turn out the best dishes. And she made, like, a vegetarian burger a while back that just knocked my socks off.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, she just put in, it was, portobello mushrooms, and it was various vegetables, and she put together something that was absolutely a treat for the palate.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. We have, on Mondays, we focus on eating healthy here on Food for Thought, and one of the segments is Meatless Mondays. So certainly maybe we'll tap you on the shoulder sometime to join us for that, and we can do some recipe exchanges. That sounds fantastic, what your daughter made.
I'd love to do that, and thank you so much for the opportunity to come and talk about safety today as well.
Thank you for joining us. We certainly have appreciated it.
My pleasure. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break, and Food for Thought will be right back. Stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. That was a nice educational segment on fire safety.
It is, yes. Always important to know, because those are the things that you can easily underestimate as far as knowing what could produce a fire. Because once you've got that situation, you're panicking to figure out what to do about that.
Yes. So. And let's just remind people that tomorrow is, we're calling it King Arthur Flower Day.
Yes.
King Arthur Flower Day. So come on down and you'll be able to decorate and eat your own cupcake.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, I wonder what else they're going
to learn from the professionals how to do it. Yes, that flour is not just for throwing on grease fires. there are so many different products that they have that in baking and decorating and all the things that they're going to show us. So
they have a ton of products. I mean, it is crazy how many different products they have, like different sugars and salts and, I mean, stuff I've never even heard of. It's crazy.
That is.
It's pretty cool.
I feel, kind of guilty because they have a whole cooking school. People will make big travel arrangements to go to this school,
yes,
and they will pay big money, and we have them coming right here. Come on down and join us. You can benefit for free, and
right,
as Carol mentioned, to taste some of those wonderful cupcakes.
Yes, definitely. Let's see, today, well, again, it's National Pancake Week, we know, but wait till you hear this one. Today is National Crab Stuffed Flounder Day.
Crab Stuffed Flounder, now is that different from the pancake? Is it where we moved away from the pancake?
Pancake is the week. It's National Pancake Week.
I didn't know if we were getting specific into this as a flavor of a pancake.
No, thank goodness. It's still National Pancake Week till the 21st.
All right.
And today's food holiday for the day is National Crab Stuffed Flounder Day. Now, how do they come up with that?
I don't know. It just has to be that, every dish needs a day. You've got 365 to choose from.
But crab stuffed flounder?
When Mark and I had first started dating, I was trying to dazzle him with, a nice, wonderfully prepared meal. And I stuffed, I don't know if it was flounder, I think it was haddock, something like that. But it was, I made the stuffing with crab and butter and the cracker crumbs, all the, and some sherry and all that went in it. And I stuffed it. And it was like all these steps to this recipe, this big deal. And served the dinner, you know, with just a romantic setting. It was beautiful. About an hour later, he got sick.
I was waiting to hear what you were going to say.
Yeah, yeah, it didn't go well. But yeah, so this would not be part of our celebration probably today.
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else is happening? Oh, well, speaking of pancakes, because, you know, I pulled off, like, you know, to talk about pancakes. The first ready mix food to be sold commercially was the Aunt Jemima pancake flour.
That is it. Pancake flour.
Pancake flour.
Oh, okay. Very
It was invented in Missouri and introduced in 1889.
Good night.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Now, it's funny because not long ago, I was looking at things that you should definitely make yourself and not buy the mix for, and things, you know, that really just go ahead and buy them. Don't go through all the work of making them, which speaks to my soul. one of those things was pancake mix, and it was really encouraging you. Why buy Bisquick or any of the commercial pancake mixes when it's so easy to combine those few dry ingredients yourself, and you can really make a better product and
less expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. And then make the appropriate amount. There are six of us in my family. So if we make pancakes, it never comes out. If you make one batch of Bisquick or whatever, it just never works out right anyway.
Right.
And it is pretty easy and tasty to make your own. And then you can, you know, tweak and add some cinnamon and add some nice things to it that you wouldn't ordinarily.
Right. It's true. That is true. How's the soup making coming along?
The soup making, yes. Well, I have gotten as far as having it still be top of mind. And for those of you who don't know, my contention was that A, soup was not a real food. B, that why would anybody go through all the trouble and time and work to make soup when, of course, we go back to A and it's not really a food? And so we've been having this discussion, and I'm trying to open my mind, mostly because Carol told me I had to and that I had to learn to make a soup because I've never, ever made soup. So I've been thinking about this, you know, for the last few days since you issued that challenge on Monday. And I got as far as looking at, there was a really neat publication that had thousands of soups in it, and some of them actually looked hearty and looked pretty good, but I couldn't quite commit to the $10 required to purchase the recipe book of soups because, again, soup is not really a food. Why would I spend $10? So I'm just going to still, you know, go back to what you taught me in making the stock with the carcass or chicken parts or whatever and adding some stuff in. Yes, I still have yet to, and I've been in the grocery store. I didn't make myself go over and look for the chicken parts, but I will, and I will send you a picture. And here's how brave I'm going to be. On Friday's show, we have a personal chef joining us.
We do.
We have Richard Sharp.
And he's a chef at Fresh Market,
which
is really cool.
Yes, he is. So I am going to bring the soup that I make.
Oh, and we're going to have him test it?
I am. I'm going to ask him to taste it, and then he can tell me what I could have done differently.
That is a great idea.
You gave me an assignment. I'm going to run with it. I'm going to embrace it and just go with it.
I love it. I think
so
that is a great idea.
I've got today and tomorrow to get my act together
and go buy some
chicken
parts.
Come up with it. See, I stopped right there. I don't know. But it's all, you know, the spices that you can add to it that I may find intimidating. I can just see, like, pot upon pot on top of my stove as I try different.
Two pots.
That's it. See, right there already. Like, you know those recipes that come out and it's like one bowl brownie batch, you know, that's me. I don't want two and three different bowls of things going on that I have to pay attention to. And that, you have to wash them afterward. I mean, you're talking to a girl who once tried to tell people that tuna fish sandwiches were a lot of work because you have to open the can of tuna, you squeeze the tuna juice out, you get the tuna juice all over your hands, and you have to go scrape it out to flake it enough, then mix it with the mayonnaise, then go. See how many steps
listeners,
are involved
are you
in that?
Listening to this? This is a hoot. Oh, yeah. My gosh, Jeannie. Yeah. The more I'm finding out about you, I don't know.
The more afraid you get. This is a good show for me. It will cause me to stretch just a bit, and hopefully not just the waistline.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I can't wait for Friday now. This is going to be really exciting. Okay, you are listening to Food for Thought. We're on 107.7 on WTPL, The Pulse, and we're going to go on a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be hearing from Donna's Delights from Delaware. Let's hear what Donna has to say today. It'll be very interesting. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.